The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, whose new paper about Mexico and China is revelatory to me. Not only the long-standing relationship between Mexico City and Beijing, reaching back to when Mao, in the closing years of his life, was welcoming to what appeared at the time to be the U.S., but it included Mexico, we now learn more than 50 years later. However, today, all-important extraction services, oil and gas, Mexico's gems, Pemex, and mining, especially the new discoveries of lithium, which is critical to the future of our electric vehicles. Professor, there's a tale of two opportunities here. Oil and gas, Mexico says, not yet, not so much. On the other hand, the only non-state lithium miner in Mexico, you report, is China. So is there an opinion in Mexico City, the reluctance about energy, but the willingness about a new, what they call it, white gold?
Well, John, in the extractive sectors, like other parts of the Mexico-China relationship, there are different competing and often, you know, cross-cutting tendencies. And so in oil, for example, under the prior administration of Enrique Peña Nieto, when the oil sector in Mexico was substantially open to outside investment, the Chinese were seeking to rush in. They initially had offered a big loan to Pemex, about a $2.4 billion loan, to basically open up the sector to their companies, not unlike what happened in Brazil in 2009 when the Chinese offered a $10 billion loan to then the president Lula da Silva. But although that was turned down, when there was a big oil auction in Mexico in 2016, one of the major Chinese national oil companies, CNOOC, came in. It was seen as having really overbid to get a piece of that oil in the Perdido Basin. Although subsequently, that oil block has not turned out for CNOOC as lucrative as they had thought. But you know, the process continues in oil. A Chinese company out of Xinjiang just signed a very large liquid natural gas purchase agreement with an entity called Mexico Pacific. But as you also point out, these tendencies also apply in the mining sector. Again, Mexico has some mining wealth. You'd had a small number of Chinese companies that were operating limited size mines in Mexico. There was one called China Unified Mining Development that had small mines in Guerrero and Michoacán and in Colima. But the big prize recently has been lithium. So we oftentimes think of lithium in the lithium triangle countries in South America, you know, such as the north of Chile, the north of Argentina, and in the south of Bolivia. But there's actually a decent amount of relatively low-grade lithium in the Sonora Desert in Mexico. And so in recent years, a Chinese company, Ganfeng, which is very big in lithium mining, had invested in this new lithium field called Bacanora. They spent $264 million to get a hold of that. It's seen that Bacanora is envisioned to maybe support Tesla and maybe some other lithium ion battery operations. But again, everything, you know, having a positive and a negative. Lithium in Chile, in Mexico, and in other places is also seen as you pointed out, the new white gold, the new way that countries will become rich, just like, you know, a generation ago, they nationalized oil sectors and mining, other types of mining to try to get rich. And so just after Ganfeng bought Bacanora for $264 million, the left-to-center populist AMLO administration in Mexico said, hey, we'd like to mine, we'd like to nationalize the lithium sector. Of course, the Chinese pushed back and said, hey, we just bought this under the assumption that the sector was private. You know, how can you nationalize this on us? And so actually, based on Chinese pressure, AMLO backed off a little bit and said, well, okay, if you already have an existing agreement, we'll, we guess, honor that agreement. But lithium has become one of several different areas in which in recent years that the Chinese are increasing their presence in Mexico.
Other revelations in your paper, Professor. Banking. The general understanding is that China, and perhaps joined with its ally Russia and other players, is seeking to de-dollarize energy trading and introduce the renminbi as a currency. And it's very complicated, and it loses me after a couple of paragraphs. But I see that Mexico is yet to work with the PRC in any active way, such as Brazil and Argentina, in using the renminbi for commercial transactions. But you leave the doors left open. Is that how to read this?
Yeah, absolutely, John. So for many years in Latin America and elsewhere, Chinese banks have operated in a representative capacity to facilitate their companies doing business in Latin America and others. In recent years, as we've talked about on this program, the Chinese, their interest in internationalizing the renminbi, populist partners have in places like Argentina and Brazil have been willing to do bank swap agreements and currency transaction agreements to facilitate that and trade in renminbi. Mexico, again, closely tied to the U.S. economy, has not gone that far to try to do renminbi transactions. However, for years and years, one of the biggest banking players in Mexico, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank of China, HSBC, has been a major player in Mexico. Other major Chinese banks like the International Commercial Bank of China, ICBC, as well as the Bank of China has operated there, generally, again, facilitating transactions involving Chinese companies operating in Mexico rather than in a politicized way, you know, with renminbi denominated deposits. But one of the difficulties that has also cropped up from an organized crime perspective is that with all of these financial ties, for example, the Chinese currency transfer system, Alipay, actually is available in Mexico. You've had Chinese organized crime groups from various different places like Guangdong and Fujian, who have been helping Mexican-based narcos like the Sinaloa and Jalisco Nueva Generacion cartel, using the legitimate ties to the Chinese banking system to help narco organizations laundering money. So instead of just moving dollars across the border as bulk cash like they once did, complex schemes in which you would trade dollars for renminbi and change accounts in Chinese banks in ways that make it very, very hard to go after the money and a lot quicker with the support of the Chinese for those Mexican cartels to launder their cash. And so that has been one of the illicit dimensions, not necessarily supported by the Chinese state, but has created a lot of problems that's come with the penetration of the Chinese banking system among other businesses in Mexico.
And to walk to the dark side, just to note it, you mentioned organized crime. That would be the fentanyl smuggling route, the precursors into Mexico, the labs turning it into the poison that bedevils America. But the other piece is Huawei. Huawei, you're reporting, is heavily involved in Mexican telecommunications. Does AMLO comment on the doubts about Huawei in Canada, in Europe? Does he say anything? We have about a minute.
Well, AMLO has always been really of two orientations. When he talks to the U.S., he talks about his distrust of the Chinese. When he talks with the Chinese, he talks about how wonderful they are. So it just depends on the day. But you're right. Huawei has been more than 20 years in Mexico. Traditional players like Carlos Slim with Telefonica initially saw Huawei as a competitor, but now Huawei has one of its regional training centers in Mexico, a call center in Mexico, one of its 9 regional data centers in Mexico, where it tries to attract Mexican tech startups into the cloud. And it goes beyond just Huawei. You have companies like Nuketech and Custom Scanners, ZPMC in terms of cranes and others, Didi Chuxing in taxi services, Alibaba in e-commerce. So there are a whole range of different digital vulnerabilities in which Chinese companies have penetrated the Mexican digital sector in ways that raise concerns about the protection of intellectual property, as well as Chinese influence in insight into what's going on in the country.
Professor Avanelis, writing of China in Mexico and Mexico welcoming, depends. Professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.